And good things start small. Just blessed by just periods in your life where God has been faithful and just showing you the next step. And He will continue to do that. He is faithful. God is faithful. Sharing our life story builds faith. I've found that so true in my life. I've shared my life story many places over the last 7-8 years. And, you know, when we share our life story, and all of a sudden we realize how faithful God has been in the past. And it begins to build faith in us. And I was just thinking about different things this week. And the one was Alvin Yoder, just praying for him one morning. And even just our own family needs and our own personal life. And, you know, we look at life and we're like, okay. I had to think of Alvin Yoder, you know, when we hear this word, we're diagnosed with, you know, cancer, and especially him, maybe a more aggressive prostate cancer. And I know as he was, you know, at the doctor and they were giving him his diagnosis and, you know, you need to do this, you need to do this, and this is going to happen. And he's just like, hold it. Hang on. You know, I want to pray about this. It's not, you know, right away, all this fear wants to get thrown on us. And this is what happens. And this is the norm. And this is what's going to happen. And, you know, I was thinking about that as we read in the Old Testament, there's a story of the one king came to the king of Israel. And I couldn't remember which king. I should have looked it up, but I think it was Salmanasar or whatever came, and he was just sharing with the king of Israel that, like, this is what happens when we go to battle. We're just overtaking one king after the next, and you might as well just, you know, give in right away. And the king of Israel took this to the Lord. He's like, you know, this is what's happening. This is what this king is saying. And it's true. The norm is that when he fights a battle, he wins. And I'm like, how can we do that? Even with maybe in Alvin Yoder's situation, you know, as they're proclaiming or just talking about what's going to happen and how this is going to affect him. And he's like, hold up. This is the normal. But let's pray. What does God say about this situation? You know, maybe you're struggling here this morning with something in your life, and you know, we could do the same thing as, you know, we're expecting another child, and it's like, okay, this is unusual. This is, my wife is, you know, too old, going to have complications, and all these things you can read, and it's like, hold up. That's maybe the norm. But what do you say, God? We believe that God has a different, and even with that, I was thinking about, it was 2 or 3 years ago, we were in Florida at the Crusade, and our evangelist, Jill Lefebvre, his wife had cancer, and she had just died maybe that year from cancer, and he was just sharing his life story with us the one day. We had gone out to eat with him, and he was just sharing his story. You know, his story was that as he was praying for his wife, this was probably 10 months before her passing, he was just praying for her to be healed. And he said, God just spoke so clear to me that she's going to be healed, just not the way you think. And he said for the next 10 months, he mourned the death of his wife. And he helped her through death, in a sense, because he knew God has spoke to him that she's going to die. But as she was dying, he was able to help her through that process, I think, knowing that it's God's will. And it was, this morning, I'm just like, what is your situation? You know, maybe the norm says, you know, this is the way it is. But God may have something different. You know, and I know with the king of Israel, I don't even think they had to fight. If I'm not mistaken, that's the time they just went to worship. I'm not sure. I should have checked it out. But I'm just this morning, do we look to God? Do we know what God wants for you? Do you know what God wants for your life? We don't understand everything that's going on. But God does. Speak to him about it. You know, as we spend one hour of pure delight with God, is that a pure delight to us, spending an hour with God? I know when there's things that you just thoroughly enjoy doing, time just vanishes in a sense. And I believe it's that way. When we get into God's presence and we begin to commune with him, some things just disappear. So anyway, that was just blessed by our worship this morning and your testimony of looking to God or finding freedom with God. This morning I'm going to share out of Galatians 5, and this just really spinning off of Brother Jesse from last weekend. I was just so blessed by the message there. What does our pastures look like if everything we do, we're sowing seeds, right? And what's flowering in your pasture? What for fruits is coming out of your pasture? What are people evaluating of your life? What are people eating off of you? And what for fruits is coming out of that? So, yeah, I made sure he wasn't going to go there. His next message, I just kind of felt like I was piggybacking off of that, but it was just inspiring this week as I was studying the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to read a couple passages here. Galatians 5, verse 13 through the end. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. In other words, if you're going to bite and devour each other, at least don't kill each other. Don't devour each other. But let's just don't bite and devour each other. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. So what is liberty? How do we experience true liberty? What is true liberty? Or what is true freedom but serving one another in love without the thought of what would I get out of it? That's true freedom. When we serve one another without the thought of what am I going to get in return if I do this? That's Paul's encouragement here, is just serve each other. Don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Maybe everything is lawful. Maybe all things are lawful. But don't use it as an occasion to fulfill your flesh. I remember one time a guy told me that I should shave my beard, that it's bondage. I'm like, okay. Maybe I should. But you know what? There's no bondage in there. It's way bigger than that. Praise the Lord. But by love, serve one another. If you have an opportunity to serve, I know Emily would wake up at midnight to make me a scone if I would ask her to. Appreciate that of you, Emily. You love serving. But it's not a burden if that's what you like doing. If that is the freedom that we have in Christ to serve one another, there's no burden. It's liberty. It's freedom to serve. Liberty is freedom with boundaries. This I heard some years ago. Freedom with no boundaries is bondage. That could seem a little bit contrary to another, but and yet we know when we know what God wants from us, when we know the path that God has, when you know is just so freeing to walk in that. But when we're continuously just, I want to do my thing, I want to do what I want, and you don't really know what's right and what's wrong, you're just all bound up in yourself. You have to run everything through what do I do and what do I want to do. I'm just like, when we know our boundaries, there's liberty, freedom with God. Do you know what God has for you? Do you know how to serve in love? But by love, serve one another, and you won't fulfill the flesh. You won't give your flesh an occasion to fulfill. Or, as in verse 14, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When we love God, when we love our neighbor as ourselves, when we love serving one another, we are free, we become free. Being led of the Spirit, verse 18, is freedom. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Are you led of the Spirit this morning? Are you being led of the Spirit? And if you are, you're not under a law. You're free to serve Christ. So I want to look at a few of these this morning. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I'm not sure why it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit, but it just says the fruit of the Spirit. And then it names eight. Or nine fruits, or characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. But I think in Revelations 22, it talks about the tree of life bearing 12 manners of fruits every month. I was like, how can one fruit tree bear 12 manners of fruit? And yet here it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's just an outflowing of the Spirit of God produces all these. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is an affection, a goodwill or benevolence, a brotherly love. And Matthew 24:12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Is iniquity in our hearts this morning? And maybe a good way to check that is your love growing cold? Do you sense a coldness towards God, towards His righteousness, towards the Word, towards His people, towards whatever? Is your love growing cold this morning? And if it is, it may be there's iniquity in your heart. What is iniquity? It's like without law, or what's wrong with this, or what's wrong with that, or the other thing. Just kind of on your own, right? Iniquity is growing cold, or if you have iniquity abounding, the love of many is growing cold. I remember soon after we got born again, we had this attitude in our church. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that, right? We're born again. What does it matter? Not desiring oversight. Do you sense your love growing cold this morning? And if it is it because there's iniquity in our hearts? I want to look more on the positive side this morning too, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. We're not talking about iniquity. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Romans 5:8. There's hundreds of verses. I'm going to just look at a few. But God, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a love. Do we have that kind of love? Are people evaluating that kind of a love off of your life? A fruit is something that edifies others. A fruit is something that is produced because of where we're planted. Because of where the tree is planted, because of the kind of tree is planted, the fruit is evident, and also of the input of what's the input into that fruit. Also, depends what comes out is what we put in, I think. As you sow seeds, if you sow a seed and just let it there, you never deal with any weeds, never any input, any fertilizer, any water, warmth, whatever, the seed would just grow scraggly and there just wouldn't be much. But yet, if there's a fruit that people can feed off of your life, if people see fruit coming out of your life and they're being edified by your life, is this an evident fruit of the Spirit in your life, love? But God commendeth his love toward us. That word commend, I was really interesting. That word is like a constitution. Like God wrote up a constitution toward us. What a constitution that God wrote toward us. Constitution of love. If you think about having a constitution for something, right? Or like a writing, and this is kind of the rules and the regulations of my family. His constitution is he loved toward us while we were yet sinners, and he died for that. Thank you, Lord. But are we bearing that kind of love? Are we bearing fruit? Is our life being, are we edifying one another? Romans 12:9, it says, let love be without dissimulation or without hypocrisy. Let your love be sincere. Not in a way that, oh, you're trying to maybe gain some kind of favor or you're manipulating somebody to do something and so you're kind of extra lovey or whatever. Let your love be real and sincere. It's not somehow trying to gain favor with God or, you know, you talk real extra holy or whatever when you're praying because you somehow trying to represent some saint or something. Just be real. Be sincere with God. Be honest. And you know, that's the neat thing about it. You can do it on the side of the road, right, Mike? Or in a field lane. Or I remember different times just God convicting in the workplace, in the shower, whatever. And you just repent right there. Let love be without hypocrisy. Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. It's not a love that's you're thinking or feeling or you're acting towards your neighbor is love. It's just a genuine fruit. Can you say hanging on your branches? And people are eating of it. The tree of life bore 12 manner of fruit every month. That's the New Jerusalem, but aren't we part of that? Do we have fruit that's being eaten? Or do we have fruit that's edible, maybe I should say? Is the input that we put into our life producing an edible fruit? And the one is love. 1 Corinthians 13, I want to read most of that chapter. just talks a lot about charity, but love the same way. First, I think I'll just read the whole chapter, but it says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Just a noisy, irritable noise. Sometimes when you have these toys in your living room, right? They're kind of irritable. I mean, think about it. If you're speaking with men, tongues of men and of angels or whatever, you got this great tongue, and God's just like, man, this noisy stuff on the side, just, he's not interested. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. So even though we can prophesy, and you know the Bible talks about desiring to prophesy and having the gift of prophecy, but understanding all mysteries, if we would understand everything that's in this book and understand that and have the gift to prophesy, and I could share with you all knowledge, and even have the faith to just remove that mountain. You know, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. In the sight of God, it's just a noisy, irritable noise. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know, there's a lot of, how would you say, just secular businesses that give millions, probably, to relief, and that's good. But yet, it doesn't profit us anything. And I don't know that we're in it for a profit, but it doesn't advance anything that I would, gain. Because there is ways to do business. There is ways to give. There's ways that are profitable. But if you do this and you don't with love, it profits me nothing. Charity or love suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, or is not puffed up. Are we puffed up? Do we at times, you know, maybe push our shoulders up a little bit, and if we share something or we say something that people are like, oh, are you serious? Do we kind of get puffed up a little? It's not love. It doesn't want itself. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Never. Charity never faileth. Charity always works. Love is always the way. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Love is greater than faith and hope. God said that without faith it's impossible to please him. But it's still, love prevails every time. Colossians 3, read a few verses out of Colossians 3, verses 12 to 15. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any. Does anybody in here have a quarrel? You'd like to quarrel with someone? You have a quarrel against someone? It says, even as Christ forgave you, so do you also. Just forgive it. Let it go. But look what it says. And above all these things, even above that, it says, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection or perfectness or perfectness, whatever. Love is the bond of perfection. Love bonds everything together. Love glues it all together. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Are we thankful this morning? We should be. Above everything else, we should be thankful. One of the sins in 2 Timothy, neither were thankful. And it talks in it's talking about perilous times coming. It's people being unthankful, ungrateful, always demanding things for themselves, not thankful. We have one more here for charity or love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all these, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So if your charity is fervent, if you have a burning love for God or each other, I believe he's talking here about each other, because it's God doesn't have sins. And I think he's talking about fellowshipping with one another, but having a fervent charity with amongst ourselves. And if we have a fervent charity, it covers a multitude of sins. How does that make sense? I thought we're saints. And yet, if you love me, you're going to cover. Your love covers or doesn't. It's you don't see. Somehow you don't recognize. Or another way is you hide it. You don't reveal it to everybody else. I was just recently talking with one of our friends from, he's a pastor in a church, just a small country church, but just recently their church totally disgraded. Just everybody left, and there was sin revealed, and he said it just talk, gossip. He said everybody just kind of against another, and it's just the two pastors left, and I'm just like, wow. True love covers a multitude of sins. Without ceasing, it hides. Do we in our hearts kind of like to expose other people? I know I would have been there already. You know, you kind of have this thing about a certain individual, and you hear people talking, yeah, you know what else he did? You know what else he did? You know, you kind of have that thought of exposing. But when you have love coming out of you, as the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if you love, it will cover a multitude of sins. We're going to look at joy for today yet, and then we're going to close. Joy is just a cheerfulness that is calm. I love that expression of joy. It's a cheerfulness that's calm. I know in our emotions, we at times we get so low, and maybe it doesn't look like we have joy, and yet in under there's joy. Sometimes we're so excited, we'd like to jump and shout, but yet true joy is just calm in everything. It's calm. Experiences of sorrow prepare for and enlarge the capacity for joy. I thought that was interesting. From the Vines Concordance, it says, experiences of sorrow prepare for and enlarge the capacity for joy. So when we go through a sorrow, when we go through a time where we're maybe low, it actually enhances our capacity for joy. True joy is not just because everything is going right. True joy is a deep inner knowing who you are in God, knowing the promises of God. And when we experience sorrow, that capacity can enlarge, knowing true joy. Persecution for Christ's sake actually enhances joy. We've read that a few times in Acts, where they counted it all joy to suffer for Christ's sake. James, you know, I like the letter of James kind of because it's probably a little bit the way I would write. You know, his first verse is, well, not the first verse, but basically his first verse is, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. It's like, wow, what a way to start a letter. He doesn't like wish him all God's blessing and peace and love like most of Paul's are, but he just puts it out as, count it joy, because this is the way of life, when you fall into divers temptations. How is there joy in falling into temptation? And yet he says, count it all joy. But if sorrow or temptation, and we know that just because we're tempted doesn't mean we yield to that temptation. He's just talking about, and maybe he is talking about falling in temptation. Probably, I don't know. I didn't check it out that much, but do we count it joy when we're tempted or when we fall into all these diverse temptations? What sorrow or persecution are we going through, and how does that enhance your joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. When we have joy, I believe others will know, will see that even though you're going through that challenge, hard time, whatever it might be, if there's joy, a cheerfulness, even in the midst of all that. Do we know that? Do we have joy this morning? Knowing that Christ has everything. He has it all, right? He's taken care of it. His constitution is that if you come and put your trust in me, his constitution of his family is, I'll forgive you. Even as God, for Christ's sake, God forgives us for the sake of Christ. And that's what Christ does. It's just, so if you have a quarrel, or if there's a something that you have, just forgive. Let it go. And may the love and joy of God be the evident fruit in your life as you meet people, as you walk, as you work, as you, whatever it is, spend time with family, spend time with friends. Is that fruit coming out of our lives this morning? God bless you.